I know if I asked the question, do you want the long version or the short version, we'd probably go for the short version. So what this is going to involve is homework. Because what I'm going to do, the lesson I'm going to present, I'm going to send out by email. Everybody will get that, and I encourage you to go through it. Now, honestly, you can go to Google and say, who is Jesus? And you can look up the category, the names of Jesus. And you can find quite a few. If we were to take time and read all the passages of Scripture that I have printed here, we'd probably go till almost 8 o'clock. So we're not going to do that. I'm just going to go through. I'm going to name these things, make very few brief comments, if any. See, the following is a list of names that our Lord is called. Sometimes he's called by these names from the apostles. Sometimes he's called these names by some of his adversaries. Sometimes he's called these names by the prophets who spoke many years before. There is one who's going to come, and he's going to be called this or that. And some of these are descriptive terms describing what kind of person, meek and gentle. I mean, things like that. But we're going to look at the definitions and descriptions given specifically speaking of Jesus the Christ. And it really is no question about these, because the context that all these passages are written in are describing Jesus and talking about this Christ. And so he not only has names, he has descriptions. And we're going to cover these, and we're going to go through quite quickly. There's going to be a lot of them. But we're just going to go through, and like I say, I'll email these out later on today, and you'll have this list that you can follow. So we're going to go in alphabetical order. Some of these you'll remember. Some of these you might question. You might shake your head. What has that got to do with it? What, was Jesus called that? Well, in every case, yes, he is called that. That is a description or name of Jesus that he has. And it's talking about the Christ. See, let's start off by saying Adam. He is an Adam. I mean, the last Adam. And then he's our advocate. We read that he is our advocate, stands between us and God. And he is the Almighty. I mean, several descriptions of Jesus there in Revelation 1:8. One of those descriptions ends up the Almighty. And that's who Jesus is. He is the Almighty. And the Alpha and the Omega. We put two in here because they kind of go together in Revelation 1:8, the Alpha and the Omega. And so, I mean, that's first and last. The Alpha and Omega are letters of the Greek language. The first letter being Alpha and the last letter being Omega. So, in other words, the whole complete package. Like when we mention something A to Z, I mean, that covers everything from A to Z. Alpha and Omega is just the Greek form of saying that. Jesus Christ is everything. He is an Amen. That's what he's called in Revelation 3:4, the beginning of creation. He is the apostle of our profession. He was called an apostle by the Hebrews writer. And he is the arm of the Lord. Yes, he came to do the Lord's will, and so he was a representation of Almighty God, and he that's what he was using. So the arm of the Lord has revealed these things. Isaiah 53:1 talks about that. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. And that's what he is. He's the author. He's the architect behind it. And he is the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And he is the beginning of the creation of God. Yes, he's beginning because he was here first. And everything that happens for concerning our salvation starts with Jesus Christ. And so, he is the beginning of the creation of God. And he's the beloved son. That's mentioned many times in Scripture. He was a son. He was a beloved son. And he's blessed and the only potentate. I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul described him as. And he is the branch, the righteous branch. And that's mentioned not only in Isaiah, but one of the other minor prophets, Zechariah, talks about the righteous branch. And so he's the bread of life. This is something he claimed for himself. I am the bread of life. The type of bread that I give, you'll never hunger. He's the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10, that's what they describe him as, the captain of our salvation. Usually the captain is the one in charge. And he's the chief shepherd. In other words, there's many shepherds, but there is a chief shepherd, and Jesus is that good shepherd. And Christ of God, Luke 9:20, Christ who came from God. All right, consolation of Israel, Luke 2:25. That's what it means, the consolation of Israel. In other words, that's what Israel is putting their hope on, and he is the result of that, as the fact that he came to fulfill the law. He's the cornerstone. You know, not only does it mention that in Psalm 118:22, Peter says he became the chief cornerstone. He is the headstone, and so that's what it is. He is called Counselor, there in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And he is the Creator, John 1 and verse 3. He was in the beginning with the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and through him all things were made. And so, that's what Jesus is. He's the Creator. And he, working in conjunction with the Father and the Holy Spirit, was responsible for the creation. And he's called the Dayspring, Luke 1, verse 78. And he is the Deliverer. He delivers us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so he is going to come out of Zion, the Deliverer. And that's what's going to happen. He's the desire of nations. Haggai 2 and verse 7. And that's what he says. He's going to be there for all people. All people can desire this Christ. He's not going to be limited to Jews only, but all people. And he is the door. Jesus said, I am the door. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And he's the elect of God. He was chosen. He was elected. And that's whom he is. He is God's elect. And he's an everlasting father. I mean, in Isaiah 9:6, talking about this child that will be born to us, he's going to be given different names, but he's going to be the everlasting father. And since he is God, that title fits. Faithful witness in Revelation 1:5. Jesus came as a faithful witness. He declared everything that God wanted him to say, and he did it faithfully. He did it because that's what God wanted. He is the first and last. Kind of going along with that Alpha and Omega, he's the first and last, the beginning and the end. And so that's who he is. And he is the first begotten, Revelation 1:5. And we know only begotten back in John. But there he says he's the first begotten. He's the Son of God. And due to the fact that he's the Son of God, he's the most important son of all, when you think about it. So that's why he's in first place of all the begotten. All right, he's the forerunner. I mean, so this is what he did. Now, sometimes forerunner is making reference to John the Baptist and some of the prophets who they announced. There's good tidings coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And these would be called forerunners. But even Jesus is a forerunner to get us prepared to enter heaven. So yes, he's showing us the way. He's going before us, and he's laying down a trail that we need to follow. All right, he's the glory of the Lord. Yes, now God is to be glorified, and Jesus said, through me, God is going to be glorified. But yet, when we look at it, he is the glory of the Lord. He's what God was all about. And that is the glory that God had. And so Christ has that glory at this time. And we're told that if we remain faithful, we'll be able to share in that glory. Yes, he was called God. And, you know, Thomas called him God. And Isaiah talked of him, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In other words, prepare the way for our God. And that's what John the Baptist did, announcing this. And through prophecy, it was said this would happen. And he is God blessed. Those who, and that's who it is. He's blessed of God. He's God blessed forever. And that's who he is. He's a good shepherd. Yeah, we mentioned this just a moment ago. He's not only the chief shepherd, the first shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. And really the most important shepherd. He is the governor. And so, this is from the prophecy, and out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people in Israel. And a governor was just an official title of one who was a leader. That's what Jesus was going to be. And he is the great high priest. Now we know that in this life he could not be a high priest because he was from the tribe of Judah. And that wasn't allowed. But he has become our high priest. And Hebrews talks about that. We have this great high priest. And we also learn that he's head of the church. Yes, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And Ephesians 1:22, God made him as head over all things to the church. He's the heir of all things. Yes, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. He is the heir of all this. And in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the fact that we are fellow heirs with Christ. We're all the children of God are fellow heirs with Christ. And he is described as the holy child, as the wise men came looking for this youngster that had been born, which God had given them a sign. They called him the holy child. Some people still hold Christ to be holy as a child, but Christ grew up and started teaching God's will, and the grown-up Jesus just seems to be ignored. He's the Holy One of Israel. I mean, this was a title that God the Father had in the Old Testament, but here in Acts, I mean, he's the Holy One. And the just. I mean, so there's another name we might run across in a minute. The Holy One of God, Mark 1:24. And the Holy One of Israel, going back to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 14. I mean, he's going to talk about this Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And that's making reference to the Messiah. And he is the horn of salvation, Luke 1:69. That's what it is. That's what God raised up, this horn of salvation. Usually a horn represents some form of authority. And so his authority is in the way of salvation. I am. About seven, eight times Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the door. I am the shepherd. And so he said that quite a few times. Before Abraham was, I am, talking about his eternal nature. And so he is the image of God, the express image of God. I mean, if you want to see God, look to Jesus. You know, the disciples, you know, they came up, Jesus said, show us God. He said, you've seen me. That's all you need to see. I mean, I'm the essence of God. I'm the image of God. And so he told them that. And we remember his name shall be Emmanuel, from the passage in Isaiah where a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that's another name. He's also called Jehovah in Isaiah 26:4. Trusting in the Lord forever, or in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Yes, I mean, it's specifically talking about God the Father, but yet in the context, God the Son is in that context repeatedly. Jesus, that shall be his name, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's another name that was given to him, was Jesus. And Jesus of Nazareth, this was a kind of like a title. Where did he come from? Well, he came from Nazareth, and that's what it is. And he's the judge of Israel. Micah 5 and verse 1, one of the minor prophets. This is who he's going to be. He's going to be the judge. And we know when time comes to an end, Jesus will be there judging us for the things we've done in the flesh. The just one, like we said from Acts chapter 7, he is the just, and he is the just one. In Zechariah 9 verse 9, they called him the king. Yes, he is king. He is our king. He should be our king. And his kingdom is what we are in, and we are subject to that king. And when we honor him as king, as we should, then that's what we have. We have Jesus is the king. King of the ages. You know, 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul uses this description, and he's going to be there, king eternal. King of the Jews. Yeah, this was a derisive name that they tried to put up there, you know, when they said, hang above his head, this is King of the Jews. Kind of like making a mockery of Jesus. But he was the king. And he really was King of the Jews. And however, his kingdom was not of this world. As Paul would later declare, and this kind of sums it all up, he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. That's who Jesus is. He's the King of Saints. You know, Revelation 15 and verse 3. He's the lawgiver. You know, he's not only our judge, he's going to be our lawgiver. And he's going to make the rules. And if we follow and pay attention to this lawgiver, he will save us. He's the Lamb of God, and that's why we're going to worship him. And he is the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember hearing about that? Yes, I mean, this is who it belongs to. This is the book that Jesus has to list down those who are his. And he's the Lamb of God. You know, John 1:29, that's what John saw when he first saw him. Behold, the Lamb of God. And so that's what it is. Isaiah 55 says he is our leader and our commander. And so that's what he is. He's the life. You know, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So that's what Jesus is. He's the one that provides eternal life. And he's the light of the world. You know, John 8:12. And I am the light of the world. And then, of course, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, Revelation 5 and verse 5. And this was one of the descriptions one of the prophets used. He's the Lion. And so the root of David, as he has. He's Lord of all. Yeah, he's King, he is Lord, he is Lord of all, Lord of Lords. Acts 10:36. And he's the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8. Paul called him that. And he is the Lord of glory. He is glorious. And we need to honor him as Lord. The Lord of Lords. Yeah. I mean, 1 Timothy 6:15. That's what he is. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord of our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. And that's who he's talking about, the Christ, messianic prophecy. He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Isaiah 53:3 says he was a man of sorrows. And when you read the description of Jesus, yes, he had his sorrows cast upon him. He bore the stripes. He's acquainted with grief, and we are healed by his stripes. He's the mediator. You know, we said earlier he was an advocate. He's also the mediator. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the messenger of the covenant, Malachi 3:1. And so that's what he's going to do. Yes, Malachi 3, he's talking about, I'm going to send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That's what he's talking about. The messenger of the covenant. Which covenant? The new covenant that Jesus was bringing in to replace the old covenant. He is the Messiah. Daniel 9 and verse 25. This is what they understood, this one that was going to come, that had been promised to Moses. I'll raise up a prophet like unto you, and he will deliver people from their sins. And so he was given the term Messiah many years before, and the Jews were looking for the Messiah. And so, when he came and found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Yeah, some of these names that are given to him have other meanings that we also can understand. Now, he's also called Mighty God. You know, when he's given the name, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yes, that's one of the names that he has. He's the Mighty One, Isaiah 60 and verse 16. We read earlier, he was the Almighty. Here he is, the Mighty One. And he is the Morning Star. Revelation 22, 16 describes him as that way. The bright morning star. In other words, in the morning, if you get out before the sun rises, there's usually one star that shines brighter than all the others. Usually, technically, it's a planet that we see, either Venus or Jupiter, but it's still brighter than all the others. And they call that the morning star. It's a thing of beauty that people look at. And it's also kind of a guide to let you know which direction you're facing. You know, that's how they did before they had compasses and before they had GPS devices. They'd have to look up to the sky to see which direction was which. He was called the Nazarene, and so that's who he was, Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son. Only is kind of emphasized here because some people do not really consider Jesus to be the only begotten Son of God. They think he's just another Son of God, just another good person, just like all the rest of us. No, the title only begotten Son is very significant here. Our Passover. Yes, there was a Passover many years ago when the children of Israel were ready to depart Egypt, and they had a Passover and they were to observe it every year. But Jesus is our Passover. He is the one we are to keep in memory all the time. He is the Prince of Life. And Acts 3:15. And that's who these people killed. As Peter told the people, you killed the Prince of Life. And he's the Prince of Kings. Revelation 1:5. And so we also have the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Once again, from that same passage in Isaiah. And then his prophet, Luke 24:19. And he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And Acts 3:22, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. So Moses warned the people that this prophet was going to be coming, this Messiah was going to be coming. And that's what the law was given to prepare people for the Messiah. He is also called the Redeemer. Now, not only Job 19:25, but several times in the New Testament, Jesus is called our Redeemer. And he is the resurrection and the life. I mean, John 11:25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus gave himself this title. He is a rock, you know, he did, and he was a spiritual rock. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And then he's the root of David, coming as an offspring of David, Revelation 22:16. He's the Rose of Sharon. We've sung that song quite a few times. This comes from Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. So we also sing that, the lily of the valleys. He's our Savior, Luke 2:11. He is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's the seed of woman, Genesis 3:15. The prophecy concerning man's seed, the Satan seed of the serpent, and then the seed of woman as will be victorious over the seed of the serpent. He's a shepherd and bishop of souls. You know, 1 Peter 2:25. And so, that's who he is. That's what he is. He is called Shiloh in Genesis 49 and verse 10. And he's talking about the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now this is making a reference till the Messiah comes. He is the son of the blessed. Mark 14 and verse 6. He's the son of David. Yes, he descended from David. David being part of the tribe of Judah, and of course David was promised years ago that his seed would remain on the throne forever. And of course we know all the kings of Judah were all from the family, the lineage of David. And then of course that stopped with Zedekiah when the Babylonians came and took over, and another king was not established until Jesus Christ was made king. They tried to get another one to become king, but he kind of refused. He didn't want to do it. Just like in our country, George Washington, they wanted to make him king. No, I'm not going to be king, but I'll be an elected president. I mean, so that's what he did. So he is the son of David. In other words, he descended from David. And the fulfillment of prophecy there, the promise to David. He's the Son of God, Matthew 2:15. And that's who he's described as. He's the Son of the Highest. Yes, being the Son of God makes him the most important one. As we said earlier, the begotten, the only begotten of God. He's the Son of the Living God, Matthew 16:18. When Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And he's called the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4 and verse 2. And this is what's going to happen. It says he will arise with healing in his wings. He is the true light, John 1:9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So yes, he's the true light. He's the true vine, John 15 and verse 1. And he is the truth. You know, John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. So that's what Jesus was. Jesus was truth. Everything he spoke was the words of God, and everything that God spoke was truth. So Jesus was truth. He is known as the way. You know, John, once again, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So no one comes to the Father but through me. He is the witness. Isaiah 55:4. You know, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. And so he was called a witness. He was also called the leader and commander. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So his word, the word comes from the word logos, which means communication or speaking forth or getting your message across. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to speak the words of God. And that's what he did. And so he was also called in Revelation 19:13, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. So you see all of these. A lot of these, like say, taken from the Old Testament as prophecy, describing something that people had to look forward to. When he got here, he was talking about the angels announced his birth and told Mary, name him Jesus. And then, of course, he grew up full of spirit and everything. And when he died, he became the greatest. I mean, the greatest of all. I mean, there's so many things we could say about that. But the more we study this list, the more we will understand who Jesus really is and what part he plays in our salvation. Sadly, many people in this world, they want to take Jesus out of the equation. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They just want to say, well, I want to have a relationship with God, but I don't need Jesus. Well, that's not going to work. See, keep in mind, we only use one or two scriptures for each name and title. I mean, there's really a lot more than that. If you get a good study Bible, and when you see the names of God, you can probably find other passages that will basically call him the same thing. And some of these, we know he's mentioned quite a few times. And so there's many verses of scripture which we did not use in this lesson, but they should be sufficient. And Jesus is everything God said he would be. And so how can we help but learn to love him? I mean, that's a simple question. But like I say, I will email this out, and you can have the full list along with the verses that we have quoted here. And then if you'll sit down and study your Bible, and maybe you'll have a reference Bible where they have scriptures that take each phrase and break it down, and you can go see other places that same title is used, that same name is used, the same description is used. But that's who Jesus is. We're going to have another lesson later on this month about who is Jesus. And we will answer some more questions about this. But I thought this list was very interesting. Jesus the Christ has many names and descriptions. And if we will learn and study them, we will see how all this plays into the scheme of redemption. I mean, how it all plays into our salvation. So that's our lesson for this evening. Consider these thoughts, and we're going to offer the invitation. If anyone has a need, respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.